Welcome to worship at Advent. Light and peace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand. It gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven."
Amen.
Almighty God, you have poured upon us the new light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light, enkindled in our hearts, may shine forth in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and come up to the Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up the Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him, proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from Isaiah. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soul makes the sprout come up and the garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of the Lord. Reading from Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet, The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. The word of the Lord. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. The word of the Lord.
Brave.
From Galatians. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The word of the Lord. A reading from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives the light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." The word of the Lord.
He will rest his voice for a while. I want to welcome you here this morning. This is the lowest attended church service of the year. You're to be congratulated. There could be extra credit in your account. Don't count on it, but it's possible. I learned at the second church I served as associate pastor that it was on this week between Christmas and New Year's that the associate could always count on speaking, because for some reason the senior pastor and his wife needed to go someplace where it was warm. So this is that Sunday. So in a sense, I'm kind of your associate pastor today. So I want to speak on out of the last verse that Lewis read. I'm sharing it from the New Living Translation, verse 18 of John 1. "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son is himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." In the scriptures that you heard, God reveals himself to Moses on Mount Sinai. We begin to learn that a Savior is coming, but until then we're under the law, and then we are no longer under the law, but we become children of God through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And a part of what I'd like you to think about for a few minutes this morning is the significance of the goodness of God as he reveals himself. In the Old Testament, we see God as the thunder and lightning on the mountain. And you think of him as the one who, in the days of Hezekiah, sent an angel to kill 185,000 people overnight that were attacking the city of Jerusalem. But yet he is also the God who sent his son. And so as we come to Jesus, he is fully revealing the goodness of God, the fullness of his nature. He's not simply the one who decrees the law. He's also the one who dies for us. So goodness is a significant thing to grasp. I was privileged to be at an Awaken homecoming service this week where the son of the gentleman who had died spoke about what a good dad his father was. And it was because they were always felt cared for. Goodness is a character trait, but it's also how we live. It's a very two-parted thing. It's what we are on the inside, but it's evidenced by how we live. And so when you think about that in terms of thinking of the Lord God as revealed in Jesus, the perfect verse for that is Psalm 119, verse 68, speaking about God. You are good and you do good. You are good and you do good. First part of the verse focuses on the fact that God is by nature good. Now think about that as in terms of us, that goodness is an added quality to our lives. For me, this is way, way back, but thinking back to when I started dating, and I will speak about Tammy, my future wife, I was on my best behavior. I memorized the best anecdotes so I could make her laugh. I had a shirt that my mother had just ironed, so I looked clean and crisp. The two-tone white and black shoes were newly polished. I was a good example of a prospective mate for her, at least in my own eyes. I was trying to communicate something that I felt on the inside. But what happens very often with people, I'm thinking about goodness as an added quality. I have done, since even in seminary, I have done all kinds of marriage counseling. And what you almost always hear from wives when there's a problem is, this is not, now I'm not talking about any of you at all. He is not the man I married. Something has changed. There was an old movie, I believe in the 50s, called Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And some wives felt as though someone had come and stolen their wonderful, adoring, attentive husband and replaced him with a pod who didn't care. And it's because goodness is an applied or added quality that it isn't always innate in us. Think of babies who are totally self-absorbed. We have to teach them socialization skills because they are naturally self-centered. Goodness. God is innately good, and what he does is good. We talk about goodness in many different ways. Boy, this steak is good. I have a really good friend. Boy, last week I went to see a really good movie, which I did. It was Star Wars. And the problem is, steaks aren't always good. Sometimes it's a rough cut of meat. Sometimes it's not grilled properly. Friends at times will disappoint. Movies don't always live up to their advertisements. It's an added quality that isn't always perfect. It's sort of like Christmas Eve, if you were here, the poinsettias were beautifully lit in the candlelight. And if you look really closely today, you'll see that some of the leaves are starting to droop. Because goodness and beauty in our fallen world is temporary. It's not a permanent quality. Yet God is good innately and always does good. And the Bible is replete with examples of him, not simply as a lawgiver, but one who sees his people as the object of his affection. And as we heard from the scriptures, in the New Testament, we become grafted in to be the children of God when we receive Jesus as Lord, so that we also are the apple of his eye, the object of his affection. And there are times in our lives when, and it may be that way for you at the moment, where our circumstances are challenging. It doesn't feel as though God is always good. When you got out of bed and your aching back barked at you this morning, was your first thought, God is so good? There are challenges that we live through in our lives where we have to go by faith. And a part of what Scripture says, and we want to look at it through that lens, that Jesus clearly revealed who God is. He was the God who lived, died, and rose again for us. He is not simply the God of judgment. He's the God of mercy and grace. Colossians 1 talks about it in verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We heard in the Gospel of John, no one has ever seen God, but Jesus has revealed him. And Paul says in Colossians 1, Jesus is the image or the exact representation of what Father God is. In verse 19 it says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, that is, in Jesus. So Jesus is God's goodness in the flesh, God's demonstrated flawless character, as well as his actions, that he is good and always does good. So it's an amazing thing to think about here post-Christmas, what we celebrated happening just earlier last week, that God's extravagance flowed in the amazing substitution of his son in our place on the cross. His death for us is the perfect picture of unmerited goodness. If you are innately good, when we confess our sins in a little while, where we confess the sins that we have done and the things that we haven't done that are sinful, we still need and always will need, until we receive our glorified bodies, the presence of our Redeemer in our lives. We don't earn it. It's a gift of grace. And what it means for me in a real simple way that God is good is that he puts forward his son on our behalf to take our hell and put it on him, so that we who believe can receive in return his heaven. It's an incredible gift that we could never earn or ever merit. And so the question is, how then do we respond? The goodness of God calls for a response. When we repent, when we say, Lord, I change my mind and my heart, I confess that I have failed of myself, would you come and be my Lord and Savior? That's the first step that every Christian takes when we receive the perfect revelation of God the Father through Christ, that he is not simply the fearful, awesome creator of the universe. He's also the one who's on the cross, the perfect embodiment of God's goodness. And a part of what goodness means, a step we can take when adversity comes, and you know it has and it will, we can rest on God's goodness, that no matter the fact that the world is flawed, even flowers are not eternal, we can rest on the fact that there are times that good happens to bad people and bad happens to good people. It's a part of life, but God is always good and is never out of the equation. And finally, for me, because of that, because I actively believe that he's good, I can step out in faith in spite of what seems to be happening in my life right now. In Psalm 84:11, it says, "For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The bigger God is in your mind, the bigger your understanding of his goodness toward you, the less threatening your problems become, because you realize that this is not the end of the story, that he has our ultimate good in his hands, and he will see to it. As Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? What obstacle could possibly stand in the way of the always good God? So as we continue our service, I encourage you to reflect on that the God that is revealed is a God of such great goodness that we can't even grasp it by reading the Old Testament fully. We have to come to that place where we see Jesus on the cross. This is the extent of my love for you. So I encourage you to reflect on that today and during this quiet day of rest. The Lord bless you. Let's continue now by standing and sharing together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated.
Please join me in the prayers of the people on page 4. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others, into your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. And Lord, we especially pray for those on our intercessory prayer list. We pray for Ed and Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Dave, Marilyn, Lois and Karen, Sharon, Steve and Sue, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, George. Pray for Tony, for Bishop Little and Sylvia, for Trevor, for Ken and Jim, for Richard, for Jack, and for the Eliza Jennings residents, and any others who now come to your mind. Lord, we also pray for comfort and peace for Barb, Frank, and her family on the death of Irv Frank. Give grace to them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We pray for Irv Frank. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And let's pray in unison the prayer at the top of page 5. Our Father in heaven, we pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit. We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another. That's so good. Good morning. Good to see you. Bill, Lord bless you. The large print. Super. And with you. John, peace of the Lord. Young lady, peace. Good morning, peace of the Lord. Scott, peace. Surely, peace. Delta, peace of the Lord. All right. Art, the Lord bless you. Okay. Ron, Lord bless you. Mindy, peace of the Lord. And I heard about Bev. And with you, Cynthia. Yeah. And with you. Peace. Peace, Mary. Good job.
Thank you.
Good morning. So at this Christmas time, let's stop and reflect for a minute on all the people around here that make this a special place to worship the Lord. First of all, I'd like to extend my thanks to Paul Larson for his service to Advent. He steps into lots of opportunities to serve, and he does so with grace and truth. And so, Paul, we very much appreciate your ministry with us. How could this place look like it does without the Altar Guild? Let's give the Altar Guild a big hand. These ladies and some men work behind the scenes and make changes that are visible to us when we see them, but we don't see them making the changes. So they're a big help and a blessing to us. Let me also acknowledge Dar Curry and the choir for the awesome music during this season. Dar, thank you very much. God bless you. Bruce and the choir deserve our thanks as well. And I know Jason and Koa spend a lot of time getting the church ready and helping decorate, so we extend our thanks and appreciation to Jason and Koa Evans. So the poinsettias need a home, And you have graciously contributed to their presence here. Please now take them with you and let them adorn your own homes with the beauty that only poinsettias can bring this time of year. Finally, there will be someone to pray with you and back during communion. Peace be with you. You can't forget Peter, that's right. My apologies, sir.
That's quite all right. I want to thank Paul for all that he does, including sending 3 live wire grandchildren to us Christmas Day.
It was my pleasure.
2 things. First of all, gentlemen of Advent, it's time to gather again. And we are going to gather for good food and good conversation at the Berea Union Street Depot again. Hopefully this time it will be open on January 9th at 6:30. If they aren't open, I will certainly let everybody know in advance. This is another go-around. Secondly, all of you out in the congregation, at the time of the serving of the offering, we encourage you to sing the offering song with us, please. We somehow failed to do this Christmas Eve, so this is another opportunity to hear your voices sing out, Go Tell It on the Mountain. So it's in your bulletin under the offering. So that's all I have to say.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As we prepare to go meet the Lord at the Lord's table, and we now present our offerings to him and prepare the elements. job on the offertory. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because thou didst give Jesus Christ, thine only Son, to be born for us, who by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit was made very man of the substance of the Virgin Mary, his mother, that we might be delivered from the bondage of sin and receive power to become thy children. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and gave it to them and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Please join with me in the prayer that our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive. Please join with me in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Be blessed this week as you reflect on the past year and look forward to what's coming as you go in peace to serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.